This verse reminds us that there is a righteous form of anger that we ought to possess. We should be angry when injustice is committed. We should be angry when the Lord's name is blasphemed. We should be angry when the true worship of God is corrupted by the sinfulness of man. But this verse also warns us about sinning in our anger, which is to say, not all anger is righteous. Indeed, much of the anger we are prone to experience is the sinful form of anger. And we could develop a long list of sinful ways we might experience anger, but it's my intention this morning to focus our attention on only one of those ways. Categorically, without exception, it is sinful to be angry at God. There is never an occasion in which it's right for you or me or any other person to be angry at God. And this needs to be stated in very clear terms, because you do not have to look very far to find Christians who will tell you that it's okay to be angry with God. They suggest that it's therapeutic to vent your anger at God. It's an opportunity to release your emotions and get it all out. And God, why, he's a big boy. He can take it. The truth is, it's never okay to be angry at God. It's never okay. Indeed, it is a serious sin to be angry at God. This is because anger is a moral judgment. So if you're angry at God, you're actually accusing him of some form of wrongdoing. You're accusing God of sinning against you by treating you unjustly. And this is often a response to our thinking that God owes us something better than what he has chosen to give to us. The man who's angry at God because his wife died in a car accident is saying, "You should have protected her, God. It wasn't her time to go. I'm angry at you because you didn't preserve her life." That's a moral judgment. That's making a moral judgment against God. It's accusing him of wrongdoing. The woman who's angry at God because she's suffering with a chronic illness is saying, "I didn't want this. I deserve a better life than this. I'm angry at you, God, because you've allowed me to contract this illness." That's a moral judgment against God. It's accusing him of wrongdoing. The man who's angry at God because his prayers have not been answered is saying, "You didn't do what I asked you to do, God. I specifically prayed for this and that to happen, and you never did it. So I'm angry at you." That's a moral judgment against God. That's accusing him of wrongdoing. The woman who's angry at God because her child went wayward is saying, "God, you said that if I raise my child in the way he should go, then he will not depart from it when he is old. I did what you said. And now my child is old and he has departed from instruction. So I am angry at you for not keeping your promise." That is a moral judgment against God. That is accusing God of wrongdoing. Do you see the point? Do you see how anger at God is always making a moral judgment against God? It's always accusing him of some form of wrongdoing. The problem here is a theological one. It's a wrong understanding or an imbalance in our understanding of God's sovereignty, love, and wisdom. We need to hold these three attributes of God in harmony with each other. And when one of them is ignored or misunderstood or denied, then we are prone to falling into the sin of making moral judgments against God. But when we hold God's sovereignty, his love, and his wisdom in their proper balance and relationship to each other, then we're able to trust that whatever is happening in our lives is the perfect and benevolent will of God intended for our good. Let me explain. God's sovereignty refers to his supreme authority, his power, his control over all creation. And this means everything that happens in our lives happens according to the will and decree of God. Everything that happens in our lives happens according to the will and decree of God. That's what it means for God to be sovereign, which is why some Christians get angry at God. They understand that he is sovereign, and so they blame him for the bad things that are happening in their life. This is where love, God's love, needs to be factored in. When the Christian understands and believes that God loves him, then he's not going to accuse God of being evil or cruel or vindictive. So when the Christian is going through a difficult time, he's going to think to himself, God is sovereign, so I know that this is his doing, but God is also loving, so I know that he's not doing this to harm me. I know that he's not doing this to punish me. He loves me, and so he only intends good for me. Yet, this Christian might be thinking in the back of his mind, yeah, but does God really know what he's doing? Does God really know what's good for me? His motives might be loving, but does he really understand the consequences of what he's doing? I don't see how my present predicament is good for me. So I'm questioning whether God really knows what he's doing. And this is where God's wisdom needs to be factored in. To say that God is wise means that he really does know what he's doing. He really does understand the consequences of his actions. As I said earlier, this is a theological issue. We need to always be holding God's sovereignty, his love, and his wisdom in their proper balance and relationship to each other. If you're only considering God's sovereignty and love, leaving out his wisdom, you might think that he really doesn't know what he's doing. This can lead you to be angry at him because of his perceived incompetence, his lack of wisdom. And if you're only considering God's sovereignty and wisdom, leaving out his love, then you might think that he's a mean God whose aim is to make your life miserable. He's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's mean and vindictive. And so this can lead you to be angry at him because of his perceived cruelty. And if you're only considering God's wisdom and love, leaving out his sovereignty, then you might think that he's a compassionate God who has a good plan that he intends to accomplish, but he's incapable of bringing it to pass. And this can lead to being angry at God because of his perceived weakness, his perceived impotence. It's only when we hold God's sovereignty, love, and wisdom in their proper balance and relationship with each other that we can know and believe that whatever is happening in our life is the perfect will of our wise and benevolent God who knows the end from the beginning and is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So, brothers and sisters, if you are guilty of having been angry at God, either in the present or in the past. If in the past, if you haven't repented of that as a sin, then this would be the time to do so. If you're angry at God in the present moment, then this would be a time to discontinue that anger and repent of the sin. For you are making a moral judgment against God. You are accusing him in your anger of doing something wrong. And so confess your sin to the Lord while you seek his forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and pray that he will give you the faith to believe that his sovereign will for you in all circumstances comes from his infinite love and his infinite wisdom that is accomplishing precisely what is good for you. He is accomplishing precisely what is good for you. And then ask God to give you a humble and trusting heart that not only knows these things, but is able to walk in this truth, submitting yourself to him in all situations. And where the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your sin, remember that God is faithful and just. He is loving and compassionate. He is merciful to pardon and forgive all who truly repent while trusting in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And repentance includes confession, and so, brothers and sisters, let's confess our sins to the Lord.